Some of us have little children. I have three. And when they cry, when they are had an accident, for example, if their faces are a little dirty with tears, with pain, what we do is we clean those tears away. We wipe those tears away. We clean their faces. And as I was standing there and worshiping Jesus, I felt like his hands came over my face and just wiped away those tears. Clean my face. Clean our faces. I know you have a lot of tears in your hearts. I look at this 1915, and it is there for a reason. And it is supposed to be there, because our Father hears and sees your tears. Jesus wipes away those tears from your eyes. And as a representative of the church in Turkey, I've done it many times, but I would like to say again, we acknowledge the genocide. We understand your pain. Someone said it's more painful than genocide itself to reject that it has happened. I really am sorry. For the genocide, for my ancestors to kill your ancestors, I cannot give you back your fathers, mothers, grandmothers, your babies, your uncles. I cannot do that. But all I can do is ask for forgiveness. Please forgive us. I know we don't deserve it. I know my people don't deserve it. But your forgiveness, release of your forgiveness, is going to change the atmosphere. Can you please forgive us? Thank you. I brought you a letter from my hometown. I brought this letter that has been written by an elderly man. And the letter starts like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive this. Yes, we live in Ephesus. We live in Ephesus. Me and my wife, I feel blessed. I don't know where she is right now. Oh, there she is. She's small. So it's a little difficult to see her sometimes, but it's very easy to hear her. I hear her all the day, every day. We live in Ephesus. We pastor a church there. Our former senior pastors are Americans from Dallas, Texas. We have been serving there 5 years with Jeremy and Michelle. You have heard them singing in Turkish. I know the language Turkish. When you hear it, it brings a lot of memories to you. I know most of you speak Turkish, but even if you speak Turkish, sometimes it's difficult to speak Turkish because of the pain. The language itself was a language of curse, and you have been cursed by that language. Your ancestors have been cursed by language, but it is turning into blessing. We read the scriptures in Turkish. We sing in Turkish. The name of Jesus Christ is being praised in Turkish, and Turkey is have a destiny for salvation, but you have a responsibility in this. My wife shared a picture on, was it Friday? It was Friday. Friday evening, that unforgiveness almost holds the revival coming to Turkey. I know in your hearts you want to forgive, and it's not an obligation. It's a choice. It is a choice. It's a personal choice. And I don't think it's a one-time choice. It is a daily choice. When you are reminded of the tragedies, when you are reminded of the I'm not going to say stories, the events, I will say. When you are reminded of them, you have a choice to forgive or not to forgive. And one part of you is saying that don't do it, they don't deserve it. Look what they have done to us. They don't deserve the salvation. I will not forgive so that they won't be saved. But none of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve grace. It is a gift from heaven. And I beg you to release your forgiveness so that those chains that are holding the revival over your country, or our country, or your country, yes, our country, our land, the revival will come. It is very interesting this morning. We have so many people who have been sowing seeds in Turkey are here right now. Vaner and Aycan, can you please stand up? They are from my home church, Karataş. We have been sent to Ephesus. They have been sent to Eskişehir, and they are very faithfully sowing the seeds of Jesus. And I didn't know they were coming today here. We happened to be in Fresno by a coincidence, but can you please give them a hand? And also, I would like those, because I have run into people who have been sowing seeds in Turkey, including Hayk, Michael, and other brothers and sisters. Those who have been sowing seeds in Turkey, Brandon, where are you, Brandon? Can you just stand up? Can you just stand up? Those who have been sowing seeds into Turkish church. And Lambert, and Lydia, yes. Do you think this is a coincidence? Yes, you, stand up. Do you think that's a coincidence? This is not a coincidence that all those people who are here, Turkish, Armenian, American, you know, many nations, just like the Revelation, you know, every tribe, every tongue, every nation will praise him, will praise the Lamb before his throne. And we see a demonstration of this in Turkey right now. In our church, we have around 100 people and 20 nations. We have Koreans, we have Americans, we have Turks, we have Kurds, we have Armenians. Worship, after Jeremy and Michelle, we are raising up an Armenian man from Armenia, Yerevan, to be our worship leader there. We have many nations, Ukrainians, Russians, English, we have from Holland, every nation. But the house of God is a house for prayer for all the nations. Amen? We see that demonstration right now. But I would like to read from Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:13. Thank you so much. My mouth gets dry sometimes, so please excuse me. Paul, he is talking about two nations, Jews and Gentiles. But I believe these verses are really appropriate for us today to read and see what our forefather in the kingdom tells us. It says, Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Dividing wall of hostility. We had that. We have that. And we have a responsibility to take this down by forgiveness and blessing and reconciliation. But reconciliation happens with taking responsibility. I take responsibility. As a Turkish Christian, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. But just like Daniel repented for his nation, I know that I have the responsibility to repent for my nation. And I know I'm not the only one. Holy Spirit does his work so beautifully that he puts the same seed of reconciliation in different people's hearts. And as those seeds growing up, it becomes a forest. And it becomes a residing place for Holy Spirit to come. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. We are experiencing right now. We are in the beginning. Those reconciliation meetings. The first one, when was it, Hayk? Was it in 2014 in Istanbul? Yeah, in Istanbul, or maybe even before here. But around beginning of 2014-13, different leaders in different parts of Turkey, Armenia, diaspora here, have been feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit to take the steps towards taking down the dividing wall of hostility. And that can be only done at the cross, you know. Because he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. So through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You know, God doesn't stay in the temples that are made by hand. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit resides in us, lives in us. And the most painful thing for me as a father is to see my children fight, especially Ilyas and Yusuf. Ilyas is right here. Ilyas, can you please stand up? He is my firstborn. He has the inheritance of reconciliation. He has what is God depositing in us. He has the firstborn right to it. I bless him in the name of Jesus. When Yusuf is not here, I don't know where he is. Sometimes, you know, boys fight, right? They have 5 years in between, so they have their struggles. But as a father, for me, the most painful thing is to see their eyes angry at each other. See them saying mean things to one another. It hurts me as a father. It does. It hurts all of us, parents, right, when our children fight. And sometimes into more serious matters, when they grow up, the fights become more intense. I hope it's not going to be the case in our house. But the joy comes to me when they ask for forgiveness from one another. Joy comes to me when they reconcile with one another and when they show love to one another and when they take responsibility for the weaknesses that they have. We are children of God. Yes, we are Armenians. Yes, we are Turkish. Yes, we are Kurdish. Yes, we are Arabic, different nations. But there's one Father, and there's one body, one temple. And every nation is going to bow before him one day. As we are talking about reconciliation and reconciling with one another, sometimes it is difficult to talk about this outside of church, right? It is easier, and we create an atmosphere here for love and acceptance and that forgiveness can flow. But when we leave those doors, especially for my Armenian brothers and sisters, you have family members that would be really angry and upset with you if you told them that a Turk came to our church and asked for forgiveness, and I have forgiven them. I know you might get angry reactions. You might get angry words that's directed towards you. But gospel is a gospel of peace. When we are saved by that grace, we cannot shut up. We have to talk about what saved us. When I gave my life to Christ, very much like my wife, at the age of 21, I felt like I was a hungry beggar. I found warm piece of bread, that I ate that bread, and I was satisfied. And I knew so many hungry people out there back home. How can I keep that bread to myself? I have to share that. Jesus is the bread of life. So I felt like that. I had to share that. Reconciliation is the same way. Once that seed planted in you, you have the responsibility to speak about it. Speak about your experience. Speak about what God did in your heart. Speak about the Turkish church that's growing. You know, we have around 10,000 Muslim background believers in Turkey, and daily they come to Christ. A couple of weeks ago in our church, 4 people in one service gave their lives, all from Muslim background. God is doing a new thing, and we have the responsibility to join hands together, Armenian, Turkish, Kurdish, Arabic, whatever nation. We have a lot of refugees in Turkey, Syrians, Iranians, Iraqis. Man, God is working among them. Those former Muslim people are coming to Christ. They have seen the oppression and the mean face of that faith, and that when they meet with saving power of Jesus, Iranian church is exploding in around the world, you know. Before the Islamic Revolution, there was around 4,000 or 5,000 Iranian believers, Farsi believers. And Islamic Revolution came, doors closed, nobody knew what was happening. Now we are hearing there are millions of Muslim background Iranian believers. This region is going to be one for Christ, my friends. It is God's saving power is coming to our region. But you have the key, not only for us, not only for us, for your children as well. Because if you teach unforgiveness to your children, if you teach hating to your children, you are pulling them away from Christ. You are telling your children, don't follow Christ, follow your heart, follow your anger, follow your hatred, and that is always pulling away from Christ. If you teach forgiveness, if you teach mercy, if you teach grace to your children, they'll be won for Christ. They will be servants of Christ. So we have a choice. All of us do. All of us do. And we have started with Armenian-Turkish reconciliation. Turkey has a lot of reconciliation to do. A lot. I feel the next ones should be Greek and Turks, because we have a very hostile history with them as well. But there are seasons in heavenlies. There are seasons in the kingdom of God. And this season is for us. It's somehow, like, is this a coincidence, being in an Armenian church? So many Turkish people that are served in Turkey are in Fresno this weekend. This is not a coincidence. This is the Holy Spirit. This is Holy Spirit is doing something here so that we can take that step forward. And this is our season. But there will be a season for Greeks and Turks. There will be a season for Kurds and Turks. There will be a season for Arabs and Turks. And more reconciliation, more forgiveness is released towards that, more Turkish Christians will come to know the Lord. Amen? Amen. But we have the responsibility to speak. In Acts 4:18, this is Peter and John. By the way, you know, John the Beloved came to Ephesus after disciples have spread. So he was in Ephesus and he wrote the Gospel of John, first, second, and third letters of John, and also in the Isle of Patmos, which is only like 50 miles from our coast, he wrote the Revelation. And so they called them, the Jews told them, and charge them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They are basically say, we cannot shut up. They told them to shut up, don't speak about it. And says, no, we cannot do this. We have seen him. We have heard him. We have seen the risen Christ. We have seen him taken up to the heaven. We were there in the Pentecost, day of Pentecost. We have seen the Holy Spirit coming upon us. We cannot shut up. We have to talk about it. This is our responsibility as well. We have been forgiven. We have seen the reconciliation. It was impossible for Kalem to forgive me for himself, right? Because you have carried that all your life. But the power of Christ gives us the ability to do what is impossible. Amen? And so we have the responsibility in wisdom to speak about what we have experienced. So I encourage you gently start speaking about it. The good news is he reconciled us both to God in one body through Christ. Two enemy nations uniting under one banner, the banner of Jesus, the banner of the Lamb. And we are going to worship him one day on our knees before his throne. But we have the opportunity today, while there is pain, while there is suffering, while there is tears, we have the opportunity to offer our sacrifice of praise today together. One day, I mean, there won't be hostility in heaven. There won't be enemies in heaven. If you have enemies, I don't know how to say that. Yeah, there won't be any enemies in heaven. Let's leave it there. We have the opportunity to give our sacrifices while it's hurting. While it's hurting. I have a spiritual sister, older sister, that has invested a lot to Nihal and me. And she has three daughters. When her three daughters were young, she lost her husband in serving in Turkey. They're Americans. And I asked her how she stayed with her three daughters in Turkey, continued ministering, continued serving. She still serves in the church in Turkey. All of her daughters follow the Lord very powerfully. And I asked her, how can you praise and worship God when that huge loss, huge pain that's in your heart? And she said, Mehmet, you know what? There won't be any pain, any death, any tears in heaven. Here is pain, death, tears, sickness. And this is the opportunity to offer our sacrificial praise while we are in the tension. There, praise is natural because you're going to see him. There will be no problems. You're going to be face to face. But here, we don't see. We are in tension, and we have the opportunity to offer our praises while suffering, while suffering. So this is an opportunity as we continue the way that he has asked us to go. God said in Genesis 1:3, let there be light, and there was light. God created the universe with a word, right? He spoke, and it existed. And it says, Genesis 1:27, God created mankind on his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We are created in the name of, in the image of God. And our words have power because God created everything with power. So when you speak, there's power in that. Positive or negative? Positive or negative? What do you want to see in your life? Do you want to see blessing? Do you want to see peace? Do you want to see things going right? Do you want your children to like each other, love each other? Of course you do. Of course you want blessing. Then what do? We speak blessing. Do you want Turkish people to be saved? This is a genuine question. Do you want Turkish people to be saved? Then speak blessing. If you speak curses, It's almost like you have a log in your hand, and there is the fire of revival, and there is the fire of destruction. And you have the choice to which fire you want to feed. If you want to feed the fire of revival, use your words of blessing towards Turkish nation. Pray for us. Pray for our leaders. Romans 13 says there is no leader in the world that's not chosen by God. I have my own issues with current government. But I know that for this season, they're supposed to be there. I don't understand why. But the word says that is. So I have to pray. I struggle with that. I just being honest here. I struggle with that, but I know the responsibility to pray for them. And so we all do. And the other thing is that as your ancestors came to this blessed land. By the way, while I was staying with Kalem and Jonel, I'm looking at that beautiful vineyard. It's nice. It's, you know, it reminds me of the, I'll say it, Western Armenia, east of Turkey, however you want to put it. It reminds me of that. And some things has been stolen from you, but God gave you 1,000 times fold, right? Some things has been stolen from you, but in cross we are redeemed, and more, the amount that you are given, the amount you're going to receive. But I'm saying that you find yourself in a church. When I say church, please understand there's one church, the body of Christ, with many theological differences, I would say. Some charismatic, some reformist, some spirit-filled or gifts, or some cessationists, you know, that you find yourself in a tension. And you have adopted some of theologies into your churches. But I would say there's only one church. Please don't be judgmental towards the body of Christ. If there's something authentic coming from the Lord, would you want it or not? If something comes from God, would you want it or not? You would want it. Everybody wants the authentic gospel. Everybody wants the real thing. So I would encourage you to open your hearts and say, God, whatever is from you, I want to see this. Whatever is from you, please forgive me. I have those walls. Don't misunderstand me. In the last 20 years that I'm, 19 years that I'm, we are serving in Turkey, people come and bring their own theologies, right, Vanesh? They bring their own agendas. And sometimes we find ourselves torn apart. We have a handful of people. And why should theologies separate us, right? We believe in one God. We believe in Jesus, you know. Holy Spirit is in us. Yes, we can have different perspectives. Yes, we can have different understandings of the word, but do not, please, I beg you, do not let this divide ourselves. Do not let this. We can say, God, if I believe, I say it daily, if I believe something wrong about you, please change it, because I do not want to believe any lies about you. I only want to believe what's truth about you, and change me. So I encourage you to open yourselves up to whatever God has for you, because this is a new season. I know you are taking a risk to invite us here. I know you have been criticized by letting us in, but that brings you to a next level. You're going to see your young people being saved, guys. You're going to see the guys that you wanted to bring to church that didn't want to come for a long time. You're going to see them coming in. Those prodigals that you have been praying for, that you want them to experience the saving grace of Jesus, after you take that risk, you're going to see them saved. Because this is a new season. The blessings of the land is much bigger than we can imagine. But you have stepped into that with taking risks, with taking risk. And you've been criticized, you will be criticized. But I, as a Turkish person, as a Turkish believer, I thank you that you take that risk. If you didn't take that risk, we wouldn't be here. Can we show that picture, please? This picture that I want to show you is a bridge between Turkey and Armenia in Ani. 1 foot, I believe this side is sitting on the Turkish side, and the other is the Armenian side. Being bridge is a difficult. We are called to be a bridge. We are building this bridge again. We are wanting to see the nations reconcile. It starts with us, but it doesn't finish with us. There is a greater impact. Being a bridge sometimes is difficult. You feel people walk all over you. You're stepped on. It's hard. It's hard to be a bridge. But as a bridge, our responsibility is to get them to the other side, to stand there when it is difficult. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." We are sons of God. We have a calling to do, and we have a calling to build this bridge. But it is difficult. You cannot imagine the amount of spiritual warfare that I have experienced in last 1 week to try to come to get here. Satan has been attacking me from every part, but I have one vision. I have one mission, to be one with you guys, to open that door for the bridge to be rebuilt. Yes, it is difficult, but the glory that is to be revealed before us is not even comparing with the suffering that we are. Turkey, you know, Jeremy and Michelle have been deported from Turkey a couple of months ago. It is really difficult for me. It is really, really difficult. Other key church leaders are being deported. But the glory that is set before us is not compared with this. And I know that you're going to come back. And I'm excitedly, happily waiting for you to come back. And when that door opens, because ministry is a privilege. It is a privilege. And we don't know how much of a lifetime we have. We don't know how much of a ministry time we have. And sometimes it becomes a burden. Oh, I have to do this again. I have to do this again. The same thing over and over again. Don't let it be a burden. Ministry is an opportunity. It is a privilege. And more as a privilege, what would you give for one more time to lead worship in Turkey? A lot, right? Everything that you have. You will. You will. There will be a day. I mean, the door will open again. But while we have the opportunity, while we have the opportunity.